Hello and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. My guest is Maureen Hurston, the COO of LaSalle Network, a staffing and recruiting group in the Chicago area. They work placing candidates in the accounting and finance fields, among many other areas. She'll be speaking with us about how to know whether you have a bad relationship with your manager, and if you do, what you can do about it. Hello, Maureen.
Yeah, very, very nice to be here. Thanks for having me, too.
Welcome. So what are some signs that your relationship with your manager might not be ideal?
Yeah. You know what? Like any relationship, there's some common signs, whether it be a partnership, an employee-employer, whether it's, a relationship with your siblings, with your parents, with a partner. So a few common signs are disengagement, right? Maybe someone's spending a little less time with you. There's not as much attention, maybe a little less training and development than you're used to. Could even get as far as maybe aggressive or short communication. Again, very similar to normal relationships. Has something changed? That's what you have to figure out. Has something changed so drastically that it's not what you're used to? And that's what you have to dig into.
How can having a poor relationship with a manager affect the quality of your work or even of your life?
There is, you're spending 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours with people at work or at the office or working together. And if your relationship with your manager isn't great, that will definitely affect you. But if you're not happy at work, that definitely trickles into your work product, into your attitude, and will also trickle into your personal life. So, when you're looking at your work product, you may start to feel that you don't care as much about your work product if you feel your boss doesn't care about you or if you're not in the best relationship. Some may try and overcompensate and work really hard and be a little bit nervous about their work product, maybe a little timid, not work the way you're used to. So, a lot of things can happen when you're feeling dissatisfied with your relationship with your manager.
And how can it affect your organization?
So groups can be affected, deadlines can be affected, your actual work product trickles directly into the organization. And then on the people side of the house, attitudes and how the organization is viewed, it's all together.
Maureen, how can you tell if the problem is with you or with your manager or whether it's with both of you maybe?
You have to communicate. You have to ask and get to the root cause because so many things can affect people's brain at work, right? You may think that something's going on between you and your boss, but it's really something going on in your personal life. And maybe you've had some issues, whether it be with your family or health or something completely out of the scope of work, but you'll bring it into work. And then you may feel that something's going on with your boss when it's really inside of you. Maybe something's going on with your boss that you don't know about, and you think that the disengagement or the less time and attention is something that you've done, but really they're having issues either personally or professionally with their boss, or they're being pulled into different things. Or, something else that happens is they may trust you more than you know, and so they pull away from you knowing that you don't need to be micromanaged or that you can handle more, but without communication, everyone's a little lost. So the most important thing you can do is get a meeting or a one-on-one or have a conversation with your boss and say, I'm feeling a little bit of this. Is it real? Is it something I'm doing? Am I not hitting expectations and am I not hitting the mark? And try and open up a little bit, maybe be a little vulnerable, and hopefully you'll find out where the problem is because, people's brains are a little bit all over the place, and sometimes it may have nothing to do with you or your work, and it has everything to do with somebody else's brain. And you have to over-communicate to get to the root cause.
What is the difference between communicating and over-communicating?
To give an example, right, if you're working on a project and there's deadlines, and some people will just go on with the project and not have updates. So people are a little bit left in the dark, but you don't want to leave any questions up in the air, right? So when you have certain checkpoints, or maybe you just give an email update or a quick voicemail with a heads up on a few things. Not that you're expecting something in return. It's just a, hey, wanted to let you know where I stood with this, or hey, I'm feeling really good about this project, or hey, I'm feeling really good about where we stand on this, and I've double checked this, and I've communicated this with the appropriate people. So it's a little bit going above and beyond than probably what you needed to do. It's a little bit, when I talk about expectations, it's not meeting the expectations. It's just maybe exceeding the expectations a little bit. But, you know, when you have a lot going on and your boss maybe has a bigger team or travels or is running multiple groups, if you can give them little updates without bombarding their inbox or without grabbing them every second of the day to let them know what's happening, if you can just do little updates, I feel like on the other end, it gives a sense of, okay, that person has it. That's under control, or I have a good idea where they stand. And if they need to make a change or put you at a different path, they can do it then and there because they know where you stand with the project. So again, it can be over communicating about projects, about your actual work, maybe about how you're feeling and your attitude or what you're feeling in the office, or, you know, even maybe talking about the team. The team had a great week and we wanted to share some exciting things, or we're a little down this week, but we have better plans for next week to get back on track, or we're spot checking each other's work, something. Again, there's so many different examples, but it's just sharing a little bit more than you probably would have shared.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, this is a good idea, especially if you have deadlines that are far in the future.
Right. Yeah, nobody wants to be left in the dark, and you definitely don't want to get down a path on the wrong direction, right? So sometimes if you give updates, your manager can push you a little bit to the left or to the right and correct you a little bit before you get down a path and you're pretty far off.
What are some things you can do to help fix the relationship if it's not going well?
Yeah, I think, you know, communication is so important. You got to figure out what's wrong and then start to work one piece at a time. So maybe there has been a little bit of a disengagement, or the work product hasn't been as good. And if you figure that out, then start to create more mini deadlines. Have a little bit more checkpoints if you need help with a project, or if you're doing something wrong, can you do some extra reading on the side to get better? Right? Again, that's assuming you know the problem. If your relationship is struggling and you don't know why and everything seems fine, maybe it is a little bit of going above and beyond in other areas. Are you approachable? Do you over-communicate? Do you maybe come into the office a little bit earlier or stay a little bit later to show that you care? Because sometimes it's just a matter of attitude and emotions towards a role. And if someone thinks that you're maybe not committed, then you can go a little bit above and beyond.
Now, I know that some people might find these kind of conversations intimidating, but do they really work?
I worked with a woman who didn't realize that she was coming across a certain way when she communicated, and people were not willing to go talk to her or wanted to work with her because of her communication style, but no one had ever told her that she wasn't as approachable as she thought. You know, and again, she had great work product. She was there on time. She had been there for a while, but, you know, I think she had gotten a new boss, and her boss had a good sit down with her and realized that sometimes she doesn't come across, her communication wasn't that great. And, you know, she never knew that, but because someone opened up and finally told her some feedback that people hadn't told her before, she was definitely willing to take the feedback. She just had not known that before. You know, I think when someone is being micromanaged, you have to really dig down deep and figure out why they're micromanaging you, because there may be an issue. They may not trust your work product. You may have been late with deadlines. Maybe some of the detail wasn't there that needed to be there. So again, it's over-communicating and getting with your manager and making sure that there's clear set expectations. And if there are clear expectations and you're meeting or exceeding, then you can get into conversations of, okay, I feel like, you know, you're micromanaging me a little bit on this project. Is there something I should be aware of? Have I done something wrong? Now, again, sometimes people feel that they don't need to be micromanaged, but they really do. And it's a hard thing to swallow if you're not that great at something or you haven't been doing that great. But you need to know that to move on.
If you've been talking to your manager about the problems that you've had in your relationship and nothing's changed, how do you know when it's time to maybe move on, to maybe look for a different position?
Again, lots of different scenarios, but I think if you are very unhappy, right, again, you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and if it's starting to become a real issue where it's taking over your life, or you're thinking about it so much, or you're getting sick because of it, or, you know, you're constantly thinking about it, and you think you've done everything possible to change it, you know, then at that point it might. But if you think you've done everything you can and given it a while, right, this isn't a quick turnaround. But, you know, I think if it's really starting to affect you personally, I think if you keep asking the same questions without any help or acknowledgement or results, you know, then it might be time. You may just not be in the right position, or they may not be in the right position to have you. If you think you've done everything you can and really put forth the effort and looked at in the mirror to make sure it's not something that you're doing, then it might not be the best place for you, but it's definitely not an overnight fix. And sometimes you may realize that, you know, the devil that you don't know might not be any better than the devil that you know. So you may go to another organization and you may have some similar problems, and you don't want to just keep hopping from job to job, and you may need to look again in the mirror and make sure it's not you. But hopefully, if you've done everything with the over-communication and you know your work product's good and your attitude is good and you're meeting expectations, if you're doing everything you can and you're still not happy, it might be time to look elsewhere. If you have a bad work product, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that you can't change this. You just have to be okay with it, accepting it and then changing it for the better, right? Because people can make mistakes, and as long as you learn from those mistakes, most managers are willing to take someone who wants to change. You know, you shouldn't get in trouble or get fired over one mistake or one mishap with the numbers or the financials or a deadline. You just have to make sure that you're learning and communicating from an expectation standpoint. So people can definitely turn their relationships around. You just have to realize how people communicate and what's important and make sure you're in alignment with your boss and their expectations.
Once again, that was Maureen Hurston, COO of LaSalle Network, and this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.